I invite you to stand this morning for our gospel reading. Comes from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. It had already been an eventful evening. First, Jesus has knelt to wash the disciples' feet. It was surprising, maybe even shocking, that Jesus was to do this act that was reserved for the lowliest of servants. Peter is the one who is recorded at balking at this action from Jesus, but the other 11 probably felt the same way. Then, even more surprising, Jesus has told them that one of them is going to betray him. Shocked again, it is Peter who asks to know who it is. Turns out it's Judas, who immediately gets up and leaves the gathering. Then Jesus tells the remaining 11 disciples that they need to love one another. And then Jesus tells Peter that he's going to deny him 3 times before the rooster crows that very morning. So it's been a lot already tonight, and they don't know it yet, but Jesus is about to start what we call today his farewell discourse. It's his longest recorded single teaching in all the Gospels. It continues on from where we started for 4 chapters and takes up roughly 25% of the entire Gospel of John. Of course, the disciples have no idea that immediately after Jesus has said, "Very truly I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me 3 times, that he's going to then launch into this filibuster. So imagine living in the moment of this scripture with these disciples. Imagine a moment after Jesus washing your feet and Judas leaving and Peter being told that he is going to deny Jesus. Jesus himself turning to you and saying, "Do not let your heart be troubled." How do those words sound? I think often when we just start reading this section like we just did, we start and we read these words confidently from Jesus, almost like a command. But when I picture them in that moment, I picture almost a reassuring whisper. Jesus taking a moment, maybe even taking a breath, looking around at each of the 11 gathered there and saying slowly, reassuringly, but purposefully, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." as though he realizes that there's a lot going on in this moment, that there's actually a lot of reasons for their hearts to be troubled. And because there are so many reasons for their hearts to be troubled right now, he has a lot that he needs to share with them. And so Jesus begins by sharing with them this promise that he's going to go and prepare a place for them. And he's going to come and he's going to take them there. And that in his Father's house, there are more than enough rooms to go around. It all sounds good. In fact, even today, we view these as comforting verses and we often share them at funerals. But Thomas, though, he has a question about what Jesus has just said. And I love that it's Thomas that gets to ask the question here. Throughout the farewell discourse, it's always the unlikely disciples asking the question. We get this one from Thomas, and then later in the scripture, a request from Philip. And then later on in the discourse, and what we didn't read, we get a question from a disciple who's referred to as purely the other Judas. Who knows why these disciples suddenly get the spotlight? Perhaps overly talkative Peter is still in shock about Jesus revealing that he will deny him. Maybe James and John, being closest to Peter and Jesus, are also at a loss for words. But to me, I read it as kind of a victory for the introverts of the group. As someone myself who's had trouble getting into the large group conversations at times in my life, I really like that Thomas and Philip and the other Judas get their moments. Because just like their more talkative friends, they have questions and concerns. Their hearts are troubled and they don't know what Jesus is doing here. And so after Jesus tells him that he's going away somewhere and will come for him, Thomas asks, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" "Show us the plan," Thomas is saying. "Let us know that it's all going to be okay. If we just knew where you were going and we knew how to get there, our hearts, they'd be a lot less troubled." It's a very human thing what Thomas is doing. It's what we tend to do too when our hearts are troubled. Try to figure out the solutions. Try to know the plans. Try not to be surprised. We want the why and the what and the how questions answered. Just a little more information, Jesus, and my heart won't be so troubled after all. Just a window into the future so that I can know for sure that it's going to be okay. And then, Jesus, I'll trust that it's going to be okay. But Jesus, in his answer, he doesn't do what Thomas was hoping for. Jesus takes Thomas's why and what and how question, and he gives it a who answer. Instead of offering that what's going to happen answer, Jesus offers Thomas a who answer. Jesus offers Thomas his very self. A relationship. Jesus tells Thomas that he is in fact the way and the truth and the life, and that nobody can come to the Father except through Jesus. It's the ultimate offer of a relationship. Jesus is already there. Jesus has already done the work. This verse about way and truth and life that often gets used to make the way of salvation seem really small and narrow is actually a statement that makes the way of salvation big and wide. Because the questions are already answered in who Christ is. The work is already done. The way is already open, wide open. The rooms are already there because Jesus has already prepared them. Hearts don't have to be troubled because Christ has already done the work. It's not up to the disciples or to us today to try to figure out how to free our hearts from trouble, to answer the what and the why and the how questions, because Jesus has already provided the answer. He's provided himself. He's provided the way and the truth and the life. Now, it's okay if you aren't yet convinced of this. The disciples certainly weren't. Let's jump back into this story for a minute. Jesus offers his relationship, his promise, himself to Thomas. But Philip, he's not yet convinced. And so he uses this moment of silence as an opportunity to get his two cents in. Lord, he says, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Philip just wants and needs more. He needs more certainty. He needs more proof. Jesus keeps talking about going to the Father and coming to the Father. And Philip just wants him to go ahead and show them the Father so that he can know for sure. It's a request that's very out of the ordinary for these disciples and their Jewish roots. With their heritage, to request to see the Father would have been unheard of. There's a Jewish belief that humans could not see God face to face or unmediated. But Philip is desperate. He needs to know in the midst of this uncertainty and heart-troubling evening that God is still going to be there. And so Philip expresses what's almost a lament to Jesus. Just show us, Jesus, that it's going to be okay. Just show us the Father. Now, Jesus, he could have rebuked Philip here. He could have scolded him. He could have said, haven't you been listening? Instead, I picture him, almost with sadness, looking at Philip and sighing and saying, oh, Philip, we've had all this time together. It's been 3 years, and yet somehow you still don't see it. When you see me, you see God. I'm here as God to walk with you. It's all right here. The promise, the love, the community, the way, the truth, the life. I've already shown you the Father time and time again. It's already taken care of. In the midst of it all, the foot washing and Judas leaving and Peter's upcoming denial and the nearness of Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, Jesus shares these promises with the disciples. They actually don't have to let their hearts be troubled because Jesus has already taken care of them. The way, the truth, the life, it's all right here. They have seen Jesus, so they've seen the Father. This, of course, doesn't mean that their lives are going to be perfect or even easy. The disciples are going to face extreme hardship, not just over the next few days from when they heard this, but for the rest of their lives. The promise instead is that through it all, Jesus will be with them. They've already been taken care of. They've already been rescued. This isn't just a passage to read at a funeral to remind us of a comfort for eternity. It's a passage to be read every day to remind us of a comfort for now, to show us that we're already taken care of, that Christ has already done the work, that the way and the truth and the life is here now. So often in life, we don't realize that we've already been taken care of. I was listening to an episode of the This American Life podcast recently, and they told a story about an ill-fated boat ride. This guy named Max, he convinced a group of friends living in Boston to each pitch in $400 to buy a used motorboat. So they go out on the maiden voyage, 9 of them, in a boat made for 6, a used boat, out into Boston Harbor. They have some fun, but before too long, the boat starts taking on water. Suddenly, they find themselves thigh high, the engine stalls, and there's too much water to bail out. At this point in the podcast, the various people on the boat that day begin to tell what they remember of the story. They share about moments of fear, moments of bad ideas and no ideas. And finally, one woman named Kath, the one they all knew least when they got on the boat that day, standing up to take charge, handing out life vests based on swimming ability, and then climbing up the front of the boat to wave down another boat for help. A towboat arrives in minutes, and they're saved. This group of friends, they go for a decade from the time that this happened to the sharing of the story on the podcast, believing that Kath was the one who saved them that day. Until they interview Max, the guys whose idea it was to all buy a boat together. He says one of his first memories of the event is that he called CETO, which is basically AAA for boats, as soon as the boat started to take on water. At first, his friends don't even believe him. That towboat that appeared, it wasn't the result of Kath's frantic waving. They were saved long before that even happened. They don't believe him so much, they even check the records with CETO to make sure that Max called. Sure enough, he did. They almost can't believe they were already saved, that even as they were panicking, it was all going to be okay. They tell Kath this, and she says, "I'm just so completely confused. This whole time, he's been the hero of the story, but nobody has known it. It's so perfect that this is the finding. It's so unlike Max, too, to not claim that, claim credit of it and say, no, I did that. But that's exactly what happened. These friends, they were already rescued. Their way, their truth, their life, it was already on the way the whole time. And that's the same message that Jesus is bringing to the disciples. And it's the same promise for us. You're already taken care of. The way, the truth, the life of Jesus, it's already been provided for you. This isn't all up to you. You don't have to untrouble your heart alone. Jesus is here for that. Believe in that good news. Amen.